This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, Anthony, while I'm getting set up here, can you also pull up last week when I was in Maryland, the bear bark from last week, because it was one of my favorites. When you get a second. But in the meantime, everyone, welcome to ENN on this Monday, September 20th, our second NFL Monday. I'd like to start off today by saying good evening to Michael.
Oh, stop.
Very good. I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Shouldn't you think before you do something?
But that's no fun.
Underrated.
That's excellent, Anthony.
Yeah, that is underrated stuff. Really quality there.
And you want to go for it? You want to go for it?
I'm sorry?
You want to go for it? You want to go for it?
That was you doing John Harbaugh.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, let's start there then. You guys,
or
you know what? Forget it.
Wow. Go too soon.
Oh, you don't
How
understand.
Was
That's
the
my...
break of your fast? Did you do all right?
I did just fine.
Okay,
it was delicious.
Was it nutritious?
I don't know if I'd say nutritious. You know, bagels, cream cheese, tuna salad, egg salad, lox. Natalie made borecas, which are this delicious, I guess it's sort of like an Israeli or Middle Eastern sort of pierogi, essentially. Delicious, like sesame, little deliciousness filled with potatoes and cheese. Ugh.
I am a fat flounder.
all things you wouldn't eat, I'm sure. You wouldn't eat a bagel with cream cheese.
No, there's nothing there that I would have liked than a bagel.
Would you have taken with butter?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, good luck getting in my house. I'd kick you out before I.
You don't have butter in your house?
I mean, there is for cooking. This is so funny, Andrew. I wonder if Andrew will agree with this. Who knows with Andrew? It's hard to tell. Andrew, when we serve bagels in my house, butter is not taken out of the fridge. Is it at your house?
Yes, it is.
For Gentile friends?
I like butter on bagels.
By not serving the butter, that's just being a jack wagon. That's all you're being.
Wait, hold on. I want to stop again. Andrew, what are the situations in which you opt for butter over cream cheese?
I don't know. If I feel like it.
How often
does
that
I'm not exclusively tied to cream cheese. I think.
Hold on. How often
cream
is this happening?
Cream cheese is disgusting.
How often is this happening, the butter?
You're talking about a regular day. You're not talking about Yom Kippur break the fast, right?
Just okay,
a
normal. So Yom Kippur, you wouldn't consider it.
That's a cream cheese day. Correct.
Okay, thank you. All right. Very good.
The way you said Yom Kippur break the fast, it's like the third installment of a trilogy, right? There's Yom Kippur 1, Yom Kippur 2, and then there's Yom Kippur break the fast.
Right. It sounds like a Steven Seagal movie.
By the way, that is Yom Kippur every year. There's a Friday night service after you finish eating. There's a Saturday morning service when you're starting to get hungry. And then there is the Saturday night break the fast service. So wait, but throughout the year, let's say you have bagels 20 times during the year. How many times do you have just butter on a bagel?
It might be 50%, 40%.
I need you to take your pants off. I need to see if you're circumcised.
Oh,
I don't believe.
Goodness,
I don't believe you're Jewish.
You.
I don't believe you're having that much butter on your bagels.
I'm getting this HR on the phone right now. That was not okay.
We're on the air. It's fine. We're on the air. It's okay. Oh, wow, I'm shocked by you. So anyway, wait, Michael, what about the bareka? Would you eat like a bread filled with potato and cheese?
I would have tried it out of respect to Natalie, but it's not something I would buy.
Well, Don, what about you?
It's like a pierogi.
It's like a pierogi, but it's better. It's like flakier with sesame seeds on it.
Ooh.
Oh, then I'm in.
All right, let's talk about this fantastic game last night. And I just want to give condolences to all the Mets fans who are so loyal, or in this case, Phillies fans like Andrew, who were so loyal that you actually watched the baseball game, which, Don, from Don's description, was just a shade under half a day long, instead of this football game. Because last night's Sunday Nighter was a thing of beauty. By the way, Michael, you are right. Al Michaels is much more dialed in this year.
I didn't say that. Don said, I've always thought Al Michaels was great.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're lying. Don, you're right. He is dialed in this year.
Because he's angling for the Amazon job.
He's, can you believe that? What is he, 80?
He's 76, I think.
And he's still hustling to get the next gig.
You know how much that gig's going to pay?
Who?
It might pay $20 million a year.
It's like it's such Michael an unrelatable circumstance for me. Like, I mean, I guess you want to give money to your kids, but his kids are grown-ups. They're grown adults who are probably well-to-do themselves. How much does the money mean is what
he's
saying,
Don. On November 12th, he'll be 77.
77.
Right, so 77-year-old Michael Kay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Still doing the Yankees.
Probably decomposed for about 6 years, but please
Wait a minute. Come on. You're going to be fantastic. And you're still on top of your game.
Right.
And the Sunday night baseball opens back up.
Right.
You're not throwing your hat in the ring?
You mean after the other six times I've been passed over for it? No, I would not throw my hat. No. No.
Now, what if they called you and asked?
Ah.
Asked me for what?
They said you were about – let's just –
And how old am I?
You're 76. You're turning 77.
76, so that would be 16 years from now. Charlie would be just getting out of college, and Callie would be out of college. And maybe I would do it as a kick. It's only 26 games. But I wouldn't pursue it.
I guess same thing for Al, too, right? That's only 16 times a year.
True. But you know what? A lot of people are saying this is the perfect fairy tale ending to his career. NBC has the Super Bowl, and he's doing it in his hometown in L.A. What a way to walk off into the sunset, but maybe he's not ready. See? Agreed.
Was that real? Is this in real time?
That was real. Hey, Bear, nothing's going on, pal. You're Gucci.
You've got to put a muzzle on that dog during these 4 hours. You have to.
That was his first one all day.
Well, I'm sorry. It's too many. It's ruining the show.
Okay. All right, I'll talk to him about it. The Ravens were up 36-35 last night, and it's a pretty unbelievable situation because the Chiefs get the ball back with 3 minutes left. The Ravens take the lead. Actually, Don, there's a lot that happened here.
Yes.
First of all, we didn't even talk about when the Ravens get the lead and go for two and get it, and they call an illegal man downfield. It was Don, sometimes those calls make me want to pull my remaining hair out of my head. The person's not doing anything. He literally just blocked for a foot too far. They take away the two-point conversion. Ravens then move back to the 10-yard line, 7-yard line. Don't get it. They're up one. Chiefs get the ball back. 3 minutes, plenty of time for Patrick Mahomes to do what he does. But guess what? A fumble. An actual fumble by Edwards Alaire.
Want to go for it?
I think his first of his career. Ravens get the ball back, and the Ravens are trying to run the clock out. They end up having a fourth and one from around their own 40 and decide to go for it. And the moment that people really enjoyed on television was that you could clearly lip read John Harbaugh saying to Lamar, you want to go for it?
You want to go for it? You want to go for it?
You know what's interesting? They never brought that up on NBC. They just showed it, but they didn't say that's what he was saying.
No, they didn't know in the moment. It just got big virally afterwards.
And when he was saying it live, I'm saying, he's saying, do you want to go for it? I said that to myself.
Oh, yeah, you saw.
Can definitely tell, yeah.
And
maybe Amazon should call me.
That's a great point. Here's Harbaugh being asked.
They own 20% of yes.
That's a great point, too. Harbaugh was asked after, was he hesitant to go for it on fourth down?
No, there wasn't, but maybe I wanted to be sure myself, you know. I knew he was going to say yes, so, but we were going for it at that point. Would there have been a doubt if it was any other player or quarterback if you didn't have Lamar?
Mahomes, I bet they're going for it too with Patrick Mahomes. How about that?
So he just proved Michael correct. He was absolutely going for it.
Eyewash.
The interesting thing would have been if Lamar said, no, let's punt.
Yeah, coach, you nuts?
Listen, he knows his player.
Do you think they go for it if it's fourth and four? That's what I was wondering.
See, and the thing is, for me, Don, Michael, if it's my team and my quarterback is Lamar Jackson, at fourth and four, anything under five, I feel like I line him up and give him the option, line him up at shotgun, let him decide what he's going to do. I feel pretty good about being able to get four. Is that crazy?
No.
I still feel pretty good about it.
It's a lot, though.
But it's really not about anything other than I cannot give the ball back to Mahomes. We've seen this happen all the time with Tom Brady, with Aaron Rodgers. Hey, well, listen, Heineke, for God's sakes. That's the way the NFL is right now. If I'm even with the Giants being very limited offensively, the way that Jones was playing on Thursday, I felt good about him getting in the field goal range. Right? So you're punting the ball away. You're giving the game up. So might as well control your own destiny at that point, right? You got the ball. Hey, get, unless it's ridiculous, like 10 or 15 yards. But I think if it's five or less.
You got to avoid giving it to a player of that caliber. Here's Lamar Jackson on finally beating the Chiefs.
Man, it feel good, you know, to finally get that monkey off our back. I've been losing to KC 3 years straight. It was good to finally get the dog.
This Ravens team, man, the interesting stat they said last night that in 2019 they scored their most points ever, 2020 second most points ever, and it looks like they're that kind of team again this year. Came up short last week against the Raiders. Did they beat the Raiders and the Raiders covered? No, the Raiders won. I just remembered I won. Here's Sam Darnold talking about his week two performance, 2 weeks in a row. This time Sam goes again for two TDs and a pick. Looked great again. Panthers win again. Here's Sam Darnold. Sam?
You know, I've always had a lot of confidence. You know, that's never going to change. But just finding completions and continuing to move the ball down the field is a good feeling.
You know what he has not said yet in Carolina? I think Don would know. He has not uttered the word suck yet.
Not yet.
I guarantee you the first time he does is when people ask him about his time in New York. It'll be the first word that comes to his mind. Now, you brought this up earlier, how good is McCaffrey in terms of all this. He rushed yesterday, 24 carries for 72 yards and a touchdown.
Not tremendous.
But then he also received five balls for 65 yards.
He's good. Who's the actress that he dates? I'll hit the Google machine.
Yeah, remind me, because I can't remember.
Okay.
But I'm sure he's a great guy.
You think he's dating a great guy?
No. I meant McCaffrey. Hopefully he's a great guy. I don't know if he's a great guy. I'm suggesting and hoping he's a great guy. Now, that wasn't the only exciting finish yesterday, guys. You know that. It was a solid day of NFL action. We'll get to the Cowboys and the Chargers in a second. But also, one game that got a lot of attention was the Minnesota Vikings against the Arizona Cardinals.
Olivia Culpo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Two years now. Who's she again?
I don't know.
If it's not Vicki Lawrence, you don't know.
Oh, stop. Well, can you find something else? You're a creative person. You paint a work picture 135 times during the course of the year. You do 4 hours on afternoon drive in New York. Can you come up with somebody else?
I think Vicki Lawrence is funny. I think that's the one to go to.
I just don't know who it is. I'm sure if I look at her, you tell me what show, I'll know. But
what should he know Olivia Culpo from, honestly? I don't even know what she's from.
You don't know what she's from. She's an actress.
Okay, from what?
And a model.
Don, you know what she's from? She's from Hotland, okay? She's mayor of Hotland. That's all I know. She was Miss Universe.
She's a fashion influencer.
Thank you.
Social media personality. She actress. She won Miss Rhode Island USA.
She won Miss Universe.
And then she won Miss USA and Miss Universe. Yes. Stop it, all of you.
But none of those things are things Don should know.
Well, how do I know?
What are you jumping me for?
Because you didn't.
She's very attractive.
You know it because you're looking it up. I'm just defending my guy, Don, because you've said her name as if you know her, when really you didn't know any of that stuff, so you just read it.
She was in The Other Woman, American Satan, I Feel Pretty, Reprisal, The Swing of Things, and Venus is a Boy.
Listen, nothing I or anybody else in the world has seen. But clearly she's attractive, but I just didn't know who it was. I'm sorry.
She was in Nick Jonas's music video.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, for, in 2014.
Her, okay.
And then Amin Agalarov, his a beautiful video, Amour.
I'm going to say this right now, and you guys say what you want about it. I'll let everyone else debate it. No better cameo in a music video of all time than Jennifer Love Hewitt in the Enrique Iglesias vehicle, Hero. Well, that's a music video.
Fashion influencer.
A lot was said today, but nothing more powerful and poignant is what Peter just said.
Have you watched it, Don?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Andrew, you had to be into that. You were in for Hero, weren't you?
Yeah, loved her growing up. Can't hardly wait. Right in my wheelhouse.
I know it is. I know. That video, though, oof, man, she's at her. You know, she came into Hot 97 one day with, who was she dating? Seth Green?
All right.
That's Dr. Evil's son, right?
I believe. Yeah, I think it was Seth Green that she came in. Was Seth Green? Or no.
Seth Rogen?
Not Seth. It was not Seth Rogen. It was someone who was definitively B-list. And I say that with all due respect.
Well, wait a minute.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wait, hold on. So it was 34-33. Time running off the clock in Arizona. Let's listen as the Vikings set up for a completely makeable field goal to win the game and knock off Arizona. Let's hear the call from Paul Allen. From KFXN-FM, Minnesota Vikings Radio.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he missed it.
That's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Oh, my.
He missed it right.
What a gut punch to a team, Paul, that play after play toward the end fought its way back.
Oh, missed it by like a foot.
And just,
oh my God.
They do that a lot, the Vikings.
What, the old bad angle in the press box, huh?
Did you, I thought you'd bring this up by now, Don. Did you see or hear how O'Neal trampled on my Stanton call?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even get a word out.
Those things cannot happen without somebody alerting me.
But I got back at him. See, you don't say anything. I got back at him.
What did you do?
Because we have a thing at the end of the broadcast where, you know, Range Rover driver of the game, something like that, and it was an Aaron Judge home run. And I just said at the end of it, I said, well, obviously, Paul, we would have chosen Stanton's, but that didn't have a play-by-play call attached to it.
You said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I respect you so much. We don't have that, do we?
Oh, we should.
We'll get it tomorrow.
I really would like to hear how badly this happened.
Oh, my. It was big-footed.
Yeah, Dave never did anything that bad to me.
Well, at least there's pictures that showed that he hit a home run, Don. You're on radio. If he did that, that would be unfortunate.
So yours will just have to be muted.
It was amazing, and he was so apologetic. He sent me. I said, "Paul, I don't care."
Oh, you
so
don't
you lied.
Care?
No,
you lied.
No. He knows I don't like. It was a blowout. It was funny the way he did it. He didn't. It wasn't like I was in deep drive to left field, and he goes, let out some unintelligible. He was in the middle of a story. He just kept going because the ball was in the air, and Stanton hits a home run in like 1 second.
I think what Paul did was worse and completely disrespectful.
Really?
Because when Dave doesn't know he's going to do it until after he did it. Like, Dave is just involved in the game. Paul's just telling a story like, well, it's not really important right now. Well, Michael is just talking. So I'll just tell some story. Peter, tell me I'm right.
I didn't hear it.
What a cop out! Just stick
it's
up
all
gun.
Over
That's
Twitter,
the whole gig.
Anthony. You can find it all over Twitter.
All right. We'll wait and hear it then. I'm excited to hear this. Let's go back to the Jets for a moment.
Shall we?
We shall.
Here's Rex Ryan on DiPietro and Rothenberg talking about we need to be patient with Zach Wilson.
This kid's going to be fine if we'll let him. You know, we're going to see if this city doesn't eat him up. You know, I just think the noises. Hey, look, I'm talking to Jet fans right now. I'm a Jet fan myself, all right? We just got to be a little patient with this kid. He's going to be fine. I'm telling you, this guy is an unbelievable talent. That offensive line's not, you know, doing a great job protecting him. Different things like that, they're all factors into it. New England's an awful tough team to play, you know, for any quarterback, let alone a rookie. So wow. Let's just hang in there, man. This kid's going to be just fine.
I understand what Rex is saying. That was not an offensive line problem yesterday. Sorry.
No.
That was a Zach problem.
But even if it was all Wilson, and you heard Salah say that, like, three of the four picks were on him. That's fine. He's in his second NFL game. Yeah, it just listen, he may turn out to be a bust, but there's been plenty. Take a look at Troy Aikman's rookie year, Peyton Manning's rookie year. You know, even Eli Manning had that 0.0 in Baltimore against the Ravens for a quarterback rating. There's going to be hard, and it's going to be more. I got news for you. There's going to be more. You just hope that there's less of them as the season goes on, and he's a better quarterback in December than he was in September. That's fine.
Hey, listen, the good news is if you're Zach Wilson, apparently Rex Ryan really likes you.
Yeah.
I've heard him not be that easy on other people before. Sheesh. That was so kind. Let's remember this if things don't change. We'll dig that clip out.
And listen, Rex, I love and adore you. You're not a Jet fan. You might root for the Jets. You might like the Jets. You're not a fan.
Wow.
Well, why because they weren't that? Even – what? Is he going to dig up the fact that his dad was the defensive coordinator at Super Bowl III? No. He's attaching to this that he knows and he's rooting, wants his former team to do well and all that. But do you think he – understands what Jet fans are going through? Can he live in Ira's world? I don't think so.
Do you really want to live in Ira's world?
It's a scary place there, Don.
Can we continue in after a break or what?
Yeah, let's take a quick break, and we got a little bit more to get to here.
Because this one seems softig. We'll be
back. Oh, yeah, it is softig, yep.
Right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
As ENN continues on this Monday, September 20th, and we'll take a little break from the NFL for a moment, though there's more to get to there. Let's hear this Michael call of a Stanton home run that was trampled on by Paul O'Neill.
I'd be hesitant to take it. I might as well let him finish unless he's on a pitch count. And there it goes, Michael. I'm sorry. I stole your thunder. You know what, Michael? I would have quit talking and let you have it. But, you know, when Stanton hits him, they get in the seat so quick that you don't have time to adjust.
29th home run for Giancarlo Stanton.
You know what? I'm disappointed in what I've heard. I thought it was going to be much worse than that.
It was just one of those pandemic-y things. I don't think that happens if they're in a booth together.
Yeah, of course. There's a slight delay, and yeah, I'm. That wasn't even bad. That wasn't bad.
No, actually, that was pretty smooth by Paul. Like, he didn't stumble. He didn't panic. He just finished his thought and called the home run. I thought it was actually brilliant. How about that?
Yeah, I took no issue with that. The fact that Michael even brought it up actually shows that he's the bad guy here. You know what I'm saying, Don?
It bothered him.
And it really
for him to be completely disingenuous, and when Paul calls to apologize, is like, don't even worry about it.
I don't care.
I don't care.
What?
He cares.
He's disgusted. Wow. Well, you know, listen. What can you do?
It's the least of the Yankees' problems right now.
You don't say.
That's a cream cheese day.
Down to the dirty dozen here.
really still reeling from the amount of butter Andrew uses on his bagel.
I like butter on bagels.
I'm not Jewish, so I don't.
You stay away from this,
Don. The rules are
you stay away.
But I just don't know why butter would be outlawed. It's wonderful on a nice toasted bagel. I can't.
Not exclusively tied to cream cheese.
I can't imagine whatever religion you are
now, hold on.
Would ever be considered a bad thing.
Hold on, Don. Hold on 1 second. Before you step in something and ending your entire career over saying something just incredibly culturally offensive.
Wait a minute. Don't even paint the picture like I was even going there. That's terrible to say.
Sorry, just kidding. But tell me this. Is there not a certain thing that Italians do with the way you eat a certain kind of food? And it's not that the other thing isn't good. It's not that it's more than good. It might be delicious. Like a bagel with butter is delicious. But it's just that it's just not done. You're just not doing. Italians aren't doing. You go to the restaurant and you see a gringo like me and you go, oh, yeah, well, he's not Italian. Of course he ordered that. That's all. Do you have anything you could relate that to?
Well, let's stick to butter. Like if you're at a major Italian meal and you decide, listen, I'm not going to go with the gravy. Give me some noodles and butter. Now that's not bad. It's not awful, but that's not exactly something you'd expect at an Italian restaurant or an Italian dinner or something you'd be eating during Christmas time. That's kind of for the kids. But I'd have to think about it, but I'm not sure there's anything.
Isn't that pretty close,
that's
though?
Just, you can't do that. You just can't do that.
It's not even, but by the way, it's not a you can't do that. I'm not saying no Jews have butter on bagels. My problem isn't that with Andrew. It's the 50% number. That's the alarming. To me,
he
that's
just
the
likes
alarming.
It. Right. What if it was margarine? What if it was, I can't believe it's not butter?
It's the same. It doesn't matter. It's the point is, when I'm getting a schmear, I wave the Israeli flag, and I get cream cheese on the bagel. All right, guys, some interesting notes from the weekend. The Buccaneers become the first team in NFL history to score at least 30 points and win in 9 straight games across the regular season and playoffs, breaking a tie with the 2010-2011 New England Patriots and the 2007 New England Patriots, both of which were also quarterbacked by Tom Brady.
So I guess we're gonna forget the fact that that game was still up for grabs a lot in the second half, and then the turnovers happened, and they scored on defense to put the game away. We're going to forget about that.
Well, it doesn't really matter when you think about it, Don, in terms of the stat I'm giving.
I understand
it doesn't
that,
change
but,
Tom Brady's stat. He threw for 5 touchdowns, no matter what you do.
No,
now,
I get
the Bucks
it. I'm
defense,
not, no.
Okay, the Bucks defense allowing Atlanta to look like a reasonable team for 3 quarters when they were absolutely worked by the Eagles last week. I hear what you're saying. You know, as we know, the Bucs returned 22 starters this year. It's possible that the 11 on defense aren't quite at the spot the 11 on offense are. But I'll tell you this, the ones on offense, Don, they're clicking.
No, it's getting to the point now where he's number one and it's not really close.
I even,
you know what, I'm also just going to relate it to sports in general, okay? Like, Gretzky's the greatest hockey player, right? And he played until he was 39 years old. But was Gretzky like the best player in the NHL the last 5 years of his career? No.
Right.
The best basketball player, you know, Michael Jordan. You're seeing it with LeBron James. Is LeBron James the best basketball player in the NBA right now?
No. He's taking the turn. He's no longer the best. He's
close. And I don't think Jordan certainly was the best at the end of his career. Or in his 40s, you know, who's even close? Just relating to an athlete in his 40s and still in the conversation as the best player in the sport at that moment. Nobody in the NBA, nobody in the NHL, Major League Baseball. Albert Pujols isn't close to the best player in baseball. Rich Hill certainly isn't the best player in baseball.
What about Barry Bonds at his oldest in the league?
Yeah, but how – let me look up. Barry wasn't 44. And no. I guess he's taken out of the conversation because of the enhancements, right? But let's keep Barry in the conversation.
Well,
certainly he was among the best. But let me just get his age.
At age 42, Don, his last year in the majors, he didn't play the full season, 126 games, but he led baseball in on-base percentage at 480 in his last season. His homers were down, his RBIs were way down,
right?
But he was still a pretty good player.
Right. No, well, but that's not the conversation. And he was an all-star too, right?
What was his average that year, Andrew?
276.
But here are his stats 40 and beyond, okay? He only played in 14 games at the age of 40, so we'll throw that out. At 41, he batted 270 with 26 home runs and 77 RBIs. And then in his last year, he ended up hitting 28 home runs and 66 RBIs. Terrific numbers for a 41 and 42-year-old, but in nowhere near the conversation in the top 25 players in baseball.
Tom Brady yesterday was 24 of 36 for 276 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no interceptions.
Now, he may not be the best. When it's all said and done at the end of the year, he may not be the best player, best quarterback, but he's in the conversation.
This offense may be the most disgusting Tom Brady offense we've seen. Gronk had another 2 touchdowns yesterday, by the way.
And also, barring major injury, this will probably not be his last season.
Brady leads the league in passing touchdowns. Prior to this, the oldest player to lead the NFL in passing touchdowns through 2 weeks was George Blanda when he was 38, almost 39 years old. Of course, Brady is 44.
But if you were just to glance at it, George Blanda looks 63.
Correct. And Tom Brady would have looked like his son. Tom Brady at 44 would look like 38-year-old George Blanda's child. The Raiders beat the Steelers to get to 2-0, the second time since 1966 that the team has started 2-0 with both wins as an underdog. They did it back in 82. Derek Carr threw for 382 yards and 2 touchdowns, most passing yards in any 2-game span in Raider history.
Wow.
The Titans stormed back from 14 points down in the fourth quarter to beat the Seahawks in Seattle. Entering Sunday, Seattle had been 65-1, including the playoffs, in games with a 14-point fourth-quarter lead at home. Yeah, the previous loss was a 17-point comeback by the Rams in 04.
You know what I want to hear anymore? Like, the Seahawks at home, that's over. They're still good, still a tough place to play, but toughest place to play.
Oh, no, it's over. That's over.
That's over.
I agree. Tua Tagovailoa avoids a serious rib injury. There was some concern, but there were follow-up x-rays that turned out to be negative. Deshaun Watson will not be active despite the injury to Tyrod Taylor. The Bears say Andy Dalton will remain the starter if he is healthy next week. And the Browns say Jarvis Landry continues to be week to week. That'll do it for ENN on this Monday, September 20th.
Terrific stuff. It's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Of course, the Yankees locally, the only team playing tonight. They're going to be taking on the Texas Rangers for a start of a 3-game series. 7:05 is the first pitch there. Blue Jays and Rays are about to get underway in Tampa. Of course, the Yankees chasing after them. Boston's got the night off, and Yankee fans should pay close attention to the Mariners and the A's tonight at 9:40, because the A's are right there in the race as well. Could pass the Yankees tonight in the wild card race with a win and a Yankee loss. So the Yankees don't want another team to have to climb over. So that's what's happening baseball-wise tonight. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. The big fella, Chris Carlin, will join us next here on the Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.